What if the poorest people on Earth are sitting on $9 trillion and can't touch a cent of it? We picture poverty as empty hands, no house, no land, nothing to your name. But the economist who actually went and counted found the opposite. The poor own a great deal. The trouble is, what they own can't move. It's frozen, locked out of the economy that could make it grow. And once you see that, the whole problem changes shape. Start in the slums of Lima with Hernando de Soto. He sent researchers to add up what the poor actually held: homes, workshops, plots of land, built and traded for generations, real assets. His estimate of their value, worldwide, around $9.3 trillion, held, in his count, by more than 5 billion of the world's 7 billion people. The poor, it turns out, are not capital-less, they're capital-rich, on paper. So why are they still poor? Because almost none of it is legally legible. No clear title, no registered deed, no paper a bank will accept. De Soto called it dead capital. Assets you can live in, but can't leverage. You can't pledge your house for a loan if the law won't admit it's yours. The wealth is real, it just can't be put to work. And it isn't only the poor whose wealth sits idle. Follow the money that migrants send home. In 2024, remittances to poorer countries hit about $685 billion, bigger than foreign investment and foreign aid combined. India alone took in $129 billion. But most of it is spent the day it lands: food, rent, school fees. A river of wealth pouring in, and almost none of it dammed into anything that compounds. Now go bigger. The single largest frozen fortune on Earth isn't private at all, it's public. Governments own companies, real estate, forests, ports. Across 31 countries, the IMF counted about $101 trillion in public assets. Most of it badly managed. Run professionally, those assets could throw off around $2.7 trillion a year, more than the world spends on all its infrastructure combined. The state is sitting on the biggest mattress of all. Is that just a number on a page? Not always. When Sweden took its public portfolio, about $70 billion of it, and ran it like a real fund instead of a political toy, the value grew at twice the rate of the local stock market. Same assets, different stewardship. The fortune was always there. Someone just unfroze it. Even money given away can freeze. In the United States, donor-advised funds, charity accounts you've already donated to, held about $326 billion in 2024, with no legal requirement to ever pay a cent of it out. Wealth earmarked for good, parked, drawing interest, doing nothing. Frozen generosity. So here's the reframe. We keep asking how to get wealth to the poor, as if the problem were an empty account. But the wealth is already there, in their homes, in the money sent home, in the assets the state forgot it owned, in the charity that never moved. A huge share of poverty is not the absence of wealth, it's wealth that can't move. The fortune isn't missing, it's frozen. Which sounds like good news. Almost too good. If the wealth already exists, you don't have to create it, you just have to thaw it. So we unlock it and watch it grow? Hold that thought. Because the people who actually tried discovered something brutal. Thawing a fortune and making it spin are not the same thing at all.